We live, we love, we serve. Many people in this moment want to be great. But you are not born with greatness. Greatness is intentional decisions to walk in the fullness of who you are. And there are many things that will come that will make you believe that there's nothing significant about you. That's the lie. I've said it numerous times, you were born worthy. You were born significant. You were born with transformative power in you. And so you have to make intentional decisions to not dim your light, but to let your light shine and thereby participate, I think, in the transformation of this world. I want to look at a scripture in that same vein. It's a scripture actually at some point last year I preached from, but something came to me last night and I want to revisit it. It is a scene in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5. And the context is David has been already anointed king. David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, one of persons rather. But David is anointed king, but his rise was too much for the king to handle, too much for Saul to handle. And so Saul thought that he could end God's future by ending the person that God's future was invested in, which is to kill David. And David does what seems strange, and he runs, he flees from Saul. It is always interesting in that scene, because in that story, because this is the man who defeated Goliath, and he ran from the person who was afraid of the man he defeated. And it thereby created a lot of issues for David, and decisions that David had to make, and some decisions that he had to make where he had help from God. This is one of these scenes. And so 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5, and I'll try to be as brief as I can today. 1 through 5, and here's how it reads in the New Revised Standard Version. David left there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Those who were with him numbered about 400. David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. He said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother come to you until I know what God will do for me." He left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Leave and go into the land of Judah." So David left and went into the forest of Hereth. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, for this time, and for this season, oh God. We thank you, God, that you're still moving, you're still speaking, you're still calling, and you're still using us, oh God, to get the glory. Now, oh God, in this moment, open our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our eyes that we might be receptive to your word. God, we need your word today. We need direction today. But most of all, oh God, we need sustained assurance that you still walk with us. You still talk with us. And every now and again, when we seem to wane in our confidence, you remind us that we belong to you. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Remain standing. Let me read verse 5. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Leave and go into the land of Judah." So David left and went into the forest of Hereth. Amen. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You take your seat. I want to speak from this thought today. Backstepping to a doula. Backstepping to a doula. David found a hiding place in a cave. He found the hiding place because, if you know the story, prior to this, he had been going from place to place, fleeing Saul's wrath and anger. And he finally found a place where he thought he could dwell in isolation and out of the gaze and attacks from King Saul. Yes, he was anointed. He was anointed to be king of the kingdom, but it doesn't mean that with the anointing there will not be challenges. Somebody needs to hear that today. Anointing is not about the capacity to sing, shout, run, dance, speak in tongues. In scripture, when someone is anointed, they are anointed to a particular assignment by God. I know we frivolously use that term at times to mean so many things, but in the scriptures, when one is anointed, and it didn't happen very often, they were anointed to a particular God-ordained assignment and calling that could only be carried out under the anointing of God. But still, even with that being said, it doesn't mean that with the anointing, again, won't come challenges. You can honor God's assignment on your life, be faithful to the assignment, but it does not mean there won't be obstacles and hurdles and, most of all, opposition. David was running from Saul out of fear. Fear is what drove him to the cave. Not only fear, but fear, frustration, and fatigue. Because oftentimes when you feel the weariness from just trying to honor God in your own fullness and with your own integrity, when you find yourself coming under attack for just honoring God, it can be a wearying experience. He's anointed, and yet he's still being hunted. I hope you can hear that. Anointed, but still being hunted. Sometimes fear at what might happen can cause us to forget the significance of the calling that God has on our lives. Fear can drive us to places like caves in our lives that we seek to conceal our significance, where we intentionally look for some place to hide. Have you ever done that in your life, where in the midst of a grand assignment and great expectation from God, which you really wanted to do because of the overwhelming nature of the significance of the call, you sometimes consciously or subconsciously sought a good hiding place? What was the last hiding place you sought, found, or how about this, you created because you did not want to fully embrace what God was calling you to do? Now, I know that some of us in here, we may not want to admit it, but we can come up with some pretty sophisticated hiding places to avoid what God may be pushing us or compelling us to do. But I gotta let you know something, that no matter how much you look for that good hiding place, no matter what you may find or where you choose to hide, can I drop this in your spirit? That hiding place, that metaphorical cave, can't hide your anointing. It cannot hide the fact that there's something significant about you, great about you, because your anointing does not disappear in the dark places you try to hide. Your anointing does not disappear in the spaces you try to distance yourself from God in. Your purpose does not fade because of fear. Even in a cave, your significance can be achieved and discovered. What do you mean? If you read that story, here was David, found himself in the cave of Adullam. But when he got there, he wasn't there very long by himself. You know the story. Countless people, his family came. They found him out. His mother, his father, his siblings. And then it says this, all the people who were distressed, who were in debt, who were discontented, all of a sudden they all found themselves to David's cave, because there's never just one person looking for a good hiding place. There's several people, and what you may discover sometimes is that when you find your hiding place, it won't be yours for long, because you're not the only one looking to hide your significance. But then watch what happens when they find a good hiding place with David. The anointing ain't disappear. The anointing did not go anywhere, because even there in the cave, far removed from where he was supposed to be, all the distressed, all the indebted folk, all the discontented folk decided to make him the captain of the cave. I hope you hear this, that the cave was a place of hiding, but it also became the place of revelation for David, to remind David that no matter how much you try to hide or outrun where God wants you to be, you can never outrun the anointing that God has on your life. When God puts God's hand on you, God does not ask you for your comfort. God asks you for your courage. I hope you get that. And I know sometimes your courage is in competition with your comfort, because you rather just lay low, be under the radar, play small, not really do much, because you often crave comfort. But in times when you are necessary because of the nature of what is going on in the world, in the culture, in the climate, you can't afford to rob us of the significance you bring to the transformation that's necessary in this world. Maybe it's time for some of y'all right now to come out of hiding and remind yourself and tell yourself, I know I want comfort, but right now God needs my courage. I know I'd rather be comfortable, but God needs my confidence. Is anyone in here today who feels convicted because you know you've made many choices for comfort and few choices based on courage? Many choices so that you can avoid being seen. Can I tell you this? The cave is not a safe place. Or maybe this. How about this? How about this? It may have been safe at once. But can I drop this line in your spirit? The safety of your past can become the enemy of your future. I'm going to say it again. The safety of your past can become the enemy of your future, especially when your quest for safety is getting in the way of your future. And when your future requires your courage, you actually are putting yourself out of position because you crave comfort. See, here's what I realize, and David needs to know this. You can't claim the throne from a place of hiding. You can't walk where you need to be from a place of hiding. The cave was a place of protection, but where he needed to be was a place of positioning. Oh God, you didn't hear that part. The cave was a place of protection, but sometimes the safe spaces get you out of position. You didn't catch that. I'm going to say it again. The cave may be a safe place, but the safe place may be getting you out of position and alignment with where God wants you to be. I hope you catch this. I'm going to say it one more time. The cave may be a safe place, but it may actually get you out of position from where God wants you to be. Look at this story. Look how important it was for God, for David to come out of hiding. Here's what happens. He goes to take his parents. He takes his parents to Moab. Moab, because David is not 100% Hebrew. He has Moabite blood. His great-grandmother Ruth was a Moabite, and so he knows he has family in Moab. He takes his parents to the king of Moab and says, take care of my family. David's parents stayed with the king of Moab for as long as David was in the cave, the stronghold. But watch this. God needed David, wanted David, loved David too much to let him stay in a safe place. I hope you catch this. There are sometimes, and I'm not saying every time, but there are sometimes, based on the necessity of your gift and the significance of your persona, where God can't let you stay in hiding, that God will create circumstances and situations that will actually squeeze you out of your safe space. You ain't catch this yet. That there are moments where God will find creative mechanisms to squeeze you out of your safe space, okay? You may actually think that the squeezing is an act of the enemy because you think that somehow God is in alignment with your safety quest. Oh gosh, that somehow God is okay with you hiding. And so you try to spiritualize your fear by saying that the enemy is trying to get you out of the safe space. No, it ain't the enemy, it's God. Because God doesn't need you to stay in the space where you may feel comfortable and safe, especially when you are necessary in the next season that may be coming your way. I hope I'm helping somebody. And so God doesn't wait for David to come to his senses. This is the part I like. Because if God had waited for some of us to come to our senses, we would still be in the cave right now. We would still be hiding right now. But God sends the prophet Gad. I like this part. He sends Gad to David. And Gad, well, this, you get this, Gad in the Hebrew means future or blessing. Oh, gosh. Wait a minute. So God sends Gad, let's compound it, who is seeking to propel David into his future blessing. Oh gosh, to leave where he is. This ain't hitting y'all the same way it's hitting me. Okay, God will send some folk on assignment to get you to pick up the assignment you dropped. That God will send some folk in your life to get you to where you need to be, to push you towards the future and promise that God has over your life. And Gad's word to David, leave where you are. Do not stay. This is not meant for you. It may feel comfortable, but it's not where you need to be. And you think the squeezing is tough. Yes, it was meant to be tough because God doesn't want you to live beneath the substance of your significance. I'm going somewhere with this. And so Gad tells David, leave where you are. Leave the old patterns. Leave the old mindset. Leave the dangerous relationships. Leave, because stepping into what's next requires you to dismiss what is. Leave the things that seemingly make you comfortable. Leave small thinking and fear-based living. Leave believing you are unworthy. Leave believing you are incapable. Leave believing you are unqualified. Leave that poor negative narrative that you keep rehearsing in your mind to make you live small. Leave it. And go to where God has you. Remember this. The cave ain't the kingdom. And remember this. There's no crown in the cave. For David, the significance would come by leaving. Now, I know there's some of y'all in here today who knows, yes, Pastor, I hear you, but it's easier in the cave. But can I tell you, if you really want to live fully in who God is calling you to be, your faith demands movement, and your destiny demands discomfort. You didn't catch that. Your faith demands movement, and your destiny demands discomfort. You didn't catch that. Let me talk to y'all. Your faith requires movement, and your destiny, tell somebody, my destiny requires discomfort. If God has called you, if God has God's hand on you, you got to leave where you are and move into the space that God is calling you to look at somebody and tell them, I gotta go. Yeah, I gotta leave. And here it is. When you decide to leave, everybody won't be happy. Everybody won't celebrate. Everybody won't rejoice. Can I tell you, everybody won't be in your corner, because some people liked it when you were playing small. There were some folk who celebrated when you were acting like you weren't great. There were some folk who tried to use guilt and reverse psychology to tell you that your confidence was conceit or arrogance. And you gotta let them know that God has too much invested in me. And can I tell you, you gotta let them same people know, you might like me in the cave, but the cave me was a chapter, not the whole book. That there's more to me. Look at somebody and tell them, I gotta go. I can't stay here. I can't stay there. And watch this. I can't stay to make you happy. I can't stay to make you feel good. I can't be invested in your happiness, but then invested in my personal misery. I gotta get to a point where I gotta make decisions that get me out of my discomfort, or rather my comfort into my discomfort. Tell somebody, I gotta leave the cave. I gotta leave cave thinking, and most of all, I gotta leave cave people. Oh gosh. I got to leave the folk who want to make me their captain. Oh God. Hold on, wait a minute, 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 wait a minute. Because cave people will give you a cave title. Oh God. They tried to make him captain of the cave. But wait a minute. Why would I settle to be captain of the cave when God called me to be king of the kingdom? I can't live beneath what God has for me. And you got to tell some folk, here it is, I got to leave because God has greater for me. I got to go because there's something more significant to who I am. Look at it, say, I got to go. I got to leave. And here it is. I got to leave. And guess what? If you choose to stay in the cave, God bless you. If you choose to stay in hiding, God bless you. If you okay with living beneath the significance of your calling, God bless you. But as for me and my house, we making a different decision. We going to follow the positioning, the assignment, and the calling that God has. Okay, I'm about to get out of here. We got to get out of here. Let me tell you this. Look at somebody and tell them, here it is. Here's the title. You can't backstep to a doula. When God tells you to go and you've made that move, know this, that when you leave, it's unsafe. When you leave, it's challenging. When you leave, you have no idea what to expect. But here it is. You can't backstep to the place that God called you out of. Hold on. Not delivered you from, but called you out of. You can't be called out by God and then forfeit the assignment because you backstepping to make people feel comfortable. Tell them, I can't backstep. I can't backstep. Can I tell you these? Let me tell you. You cannot backstep, because to do that will stagnate your strength. Get this down. This is the good part. Will stagnate your strength. If David would have remained in the cave, he would have forever been in survival mode. And his courage would have been weakened by his comfort. Oh, you catch that. You stagnate your strength by remaining in spaces that put you out of position. I'm saying it again. In other words, you don't grow. You stop growing, and in fact, you start reversing what you have worked so hard to do. You can't backstep because it stagnates your strength. Secondly, you can't backstep because it sabotages your future. See, when you go back where God has called you out of, it is a rejection of the call that God has placed. Think about it. God saw you. God anointed you. God then repositioned you. And you fighting to go back to a place that God called you out of.
Here it is. If you feel overwhelmed, let your eyes catch up with God's eyes. Because clearly God saw something in you that justified God's calling of you. But when you don't walk in the calling and move into position, you're sabotaging your future because you're rejecting the call. Lastly, when you backstep, you suffocate your significance. I want you to hear this. If David had stayed in that cave, he would have been trapped in isolation, and his legacy would have been lost in the shadows of the cave. And everything we would have known about David would have fallen in its significance, because the cave would have been the point of his satisfaction. Why would I sit there when God has more for me over here? Well, I'm done. We can go out of here. This was one thing I realized. I like merging science and theology. There's some people who got a problem with it. But and when I was thinking about this, I came across a phrase that came to mind. You know, things off at the time of just resurfacing, we at least expect it. But I remember reading something. It was called it's a scientific term, and many of you scientists may know this, non-linear dynamical systems. What is this? These are systems where the components of the system interact in a non-linear way. Their behavior can be described as complex, complicated, and hard to tame. I hope you get this. Non-linear dynamical systems. Now, the reason why it's problematic for some people is because some people would want that everything moves in a linear pattern, that it goes according to plan. And many times, those who want, watch this, to manage non-linear, watch this, dynamical systems implement a process called, guess what? Backstepping. Wait a minute. And backstepping is a control technique used to stabilize the complexity of the nonlinear dynamical systems. You ain't got this yet. So backstepping becomes a tool to, watch this, control the design that is complicated, complex, and hard to tame. You didn't catch this. So backstepping scientifically causes all the nonlinear dynamical systems to conform to a prescribed expectation on a linear sensibility. You ain't caught this yet. You don't really understand what I'm saying. In other words, it's an attempt to water down what is complicated so that it learns to play its pre-designed role. You didn't catch this yet. And so when you are a non-linear dynamical systems, they try to implement control techniques to water down your complexity and sometimes even the chaotic nature of your calling so that it fits and conforms to a prescribed expectation. That's what backstepping does. In other words, when you backstep, it is conforming to what makes other people feel comfortable with your nonlinear, dynamical, systematic self. In other words, if you have gifts that folk can't explain their significance, well, you're in good company. You are now a nonlinear dynamic system. When people can't understand how you do what you do because you don't follow the rules like everybody else does, you let them know, I am part of a nonlinear dynamic system. When your gifts can't be defined because other people try to water down the significance of your complicated self, they are trying to conform. Let them know, I am a nonlinear dynamic system, and I cannot be backstepped to the place that makes me fit in line with your boring, sorry self. That God has done too much for me to backstep. Look at somebody and tell them, I can't go back. Even if going forward is hard, I can't go back. Even if going back is dangerous, I can't go back. You are a non-linear dynamic system. You are the universe in ecstatic motion. Everything you see outside of you takes its cues from you. You gotta tell some folk, I can't be controlled by your insecurities. I can't be held captive by your fear. I will not water myself down to fit in a line that I'm bigger than. I will refuse to occupy spaces that are beneath my calling. God has invested too much in me. So in case you need a scientific term to describe how amazing and abundant and blessed you are, just tell them when you leave here today, I am a non-linear dynamical system, and I refuse to conform to your limited imagination. Come on, stand up today. I cannot backstep. There are people who want you to backstep, but God has called you out for a reason. I will not be contained by your limited imagination. I will not be bound because you're intimidated by my gift. And let me just let you know in advance, no matter what you try to do to make me fit in to who and what you need me to be, I'm too dynamic for that. I have to be who God requires me to be in this season. People, I'm talking to some of y'all in here. People have made you feel like something was wrong with you because you couldn't fit in exactly like they wanted you to. They told you you were a bad student growing up because they were not capable of following your dynamism. You couldn't be regimented this way. And the sad thing about our educational system at times is it doesn't make space for the significantly gifted person. They look at the significant gift and give it negative labels and make you feel as though you're a problem. What you gotta tell them sometimes is, it's not my fault. You can't keep up with the pace of my intelligence. And it's not my fault that what you're trying to do is reinforce boredom in my life. It's not my fault. When I was a child, I used to get in trouble all the time because they would tell my parents every report, Michael is smart. He just talks too much. You know, all the time, he talks too much. In my mind, I wouldn't talk as much if y'all was saying something interesting. I had to create my own world. And I never forget when a guidance counselor told me that I was problematic, that I wasn't college material, because I ain't fit into his linear way of thinking. I wish I had the tools to tell him at 18, it's not my fault that you can't handle my non-linear dynamism. I'm complicated. I'm hard to lock down. I'm hard to define. But that's not just me, that's us. We are that. In this cultural moment, with everything that's happening, we don't need more cave dwellers. We need some folk who are ready to leave the cave and be part of the rescue mission for so many of our brothers and sisters who are suffering and will be suffering. This is a time where clarion call is going out for the folk who've left the cave. and ready to live a life of significance. Even as we gather here today, the easiest thing to do for a whole lot of people who got voter remorse right now is to be like, see, that's what you get. Versus, we may not get along and agree, but something powerful can happen if we get together and turn this system upside down. What does that require? Glad you asked. It requires love revolutionaries who are not committed to division, but committed to finding ways of healing and restoration and strength in this moment. As I pray, I want you to pray. And maybe it's you. Because I know what it is to be labeled early. And people have you thinking that something's wrong with you because you don't fit into their system. You could live all your life thinking that somehow you're a problem, or you're not smart enough, or you're not capable, or because you let somebody else tell you who you are. But here's the part I like. I can hear it in the background. I love the fact that God knows my name. Because when I connect and tune in to the frequency of God, I hear the whispers, the divine whispers of my worth. And my cosmic significance comes to the forefront. And my universal dynamism explodes. And all of a sudden, I become uncontainable to those who try to put out my flame or put out my light. I gotta remind them, no weapon formed against my mind, my gifts, my talents, my spirit, no weapon will prosper, because I don't fit in to all your categories. I'm too dynamic for that. So you pray for those people you know, and even your own pain when you've been made to feel insignificant.